Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And by the way, on our politics website, it's freecountry.org. Check out our latest news and politics quiz and see if you've been paying attention. Today's question is about the piece of jewelry in the news that Mayor Bloomberg's pick for schools chancellor owns. And you can continue the conversation that we just began about what President Obama can do on his own, even with a gridlocked Congress, using the powers of the executive branch. There's always something to read and always something to do at itsafreecountry.org. Well, as you've been hearing in the news, the skirmish across the North Korea-South Korea border today. Both sides exchanged fire near the country's disputed maritime border. Two South Korean soldiers are known dead, 15 wounded, three injured civilians at last count. Joining me now to explain what's going on and if we should expect to see an escalation of violence there is Professor Charles Armstrong, director of the Center for Korean Research at Columbia University School of International and Public Affairs. Welcome back to WNYC, Charles. Hi.
Nice to be here, Brian.
So I guess we know some of the facts of what happened yesterday, but I guess it's even in dispute at the moment as to who started it. Do you have any doubt about the South Korean and American claim that North Korea started it?
Well, it's hard to say without looking at all the evidence, which we don't have. But the important thing, it seems to me, is to put this in the context of a broader escalation of tensions that's been going on for quite some time, particularly after the sinking of the South Korean Navy ship in March, which killed 46 South Korean sailors, and a war of words that's been going on between North and South Korea. I mean, it was almost inevitable that as unfortunate as this is, that something was going to happen as these escalations continued.
Can you tell us a little bit about the particular border region, the northern limit line, as it's called, where this took place? People might remember this is where a ship was sunk in March.
That's correct. Well, first of all, it's important to remember that the DMZ, the demilitarized zone that divides North and South Korea, is not a normal national boundary. This is a ceasefire line which was intended to be a temporary demarcation between two sides in a war, the Korean War, which in a technical and legal sense still continues to this day. And the North Koreans, for their part, have never accepted the extension of that DMZ from the land across into the sea west of the Korean Peninsula, which extends into the northern territory, which they have claimed as their own. There have been disputes over this northern limit line for decades. And this, as you mentioned, was the place where the South Korean naval ship was sunk. The South Koreans and an international investigation team concluded that it was a torpedo from the north. The north has denied this, but this is very close to now the island that was shelled by the North Koreans yesterday.
As you say, the standoff has been going on since the 1950s. Why do you think there is escalation now, as you described?
Well, there are a number of factors that have gone into this. The negotiations involving the U.S., and North and South Korea, Russia, China, and Japan sort of floundered in 2009. North Korea has been going through a leadership transition to the son of the current leader, Kim Jong-il, and they've been preoccupied with their internal politics, part of which seems to have to do with demonstrating its military strength to the outside world. And they've been very unhappy with the South Korean president, who's been in power since early 2008, who they see as far too hardline and pro-American and reneging on the agreements that they thought they had with the previous South Korean government. So all of that combined has led to a more kind of paranoid, if we might say, or a belligerent North Korea, and the South has responded also with its own tough talk. So this has been, as I said, a war of words that's been going on now for about 2.5 years, and this can very easily in the Korean situation lead to an actual skirmish of armed force.
And I wonder how big a skirmish it could lead to. When you talk about the war of words, here's the latest statement from the government of South Korea. This crossed the wire about an hour ago, and it's from South Korean President, the South Korean president, who says his country will unleash a, quote, enormous retaliation, unquote, should North Korea attack again. That's President Lee Myung-bak. And he said the North's, quote, indiscriminate attack on civilians can never be tolerated. unquote. This was posted on the presidential website. Should we take this seriously, and what kind of enormous retaliation might he have in mind?
It's very hard to say how South Korea could retaliate without a devastating war resulting on the Korean Peninsula, which, of course, the South Koreans, or for that matter, the North Koreans, do not want. So I think we have to look at it as rhetoric for now. Lee Myung-bak, the South Korean president, backed down from an earlier promise to not negotiate with North Korea after the sailors were killed in the spring until North Korea apologized. He backed down from that and entered into talks about humanitarian exchanges with the North. So I think that in the heat of the moment, certainly the president has to talk tough, but the reality is no one can really tolerate a major military counteroffensive because of the absolute devastation that would result.
The North Korea nuclear program was in the news this week after an American nuclear scientist who visited recently said he had been shown a secret and modern uranium enrichment facility. Does this have anything to do with yesterday's skirmish?
I think this all is connected in the sense that North Korea wants to get the world's attention, as they often do. They want to get back to negotiation on their terms, and they want to be, and they've said this publicly many times, be treated as a de facto nuclear power. This is something, of course, the United States and most of the rest of the international community will not want to see happen. But this is all North Korea, as it were, trying to show how tough it is to the world. And now we're in a very dangerous situation as a result.
We just have a couple of minutes left with Charles Armstrong from Columbia University's Center for Korean Research. He's also the author of several books, most recently The Koreas, published in 2007. Does the transfer of power in North Korea have anything to do with this? We keep hearing that Kim Jong-il is getting ready to pass down leadership to his son. How might that play into this?
Well, the son, Kim Jong-un, is being presented more and more, and the propaganda escalates almost every day, as a military leader. He's taken to military sites. He was named a four-star general earlier this fall. So I think part of the tough line toward the outside world has to do with the transition and the son showing his bona fides. But the response to that is the options are very limited. Sanctions have not had much effect, and military options really aren't realistic. So as difficult as it may be, the U.S. and South Korea and other partners with North Korea have to get back to negotiating to try to defuse this crisis.
Negotiating with what? And this will be the last question, but Americans always scratch their head at the question, ultimately, what does North Korea want?
North Korea wants some kind of assurance that they will be able to maintain their regime in power and that they are not threatened by the outside world. They also would, of course, like economic assistance as well. For the time being, we will have to accept that North Korea does have nuclear weapons, and the best we can hope for is some kind of a diplomatic solution that will get North Korea, in my view, to at least freeze its nuclear program and reduce the level of tensions.
Charles Armstrong, director of the Center for Korean Research at Columbia University School of International and Public Affairs, and author of books including The Koreas. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, why two area hedge funds were raided by the FBI and how big an insider trading scandal the feds might be on to. Then we'll talk to the writer of a New Yorker magazine article this week who says investment bankers, even those who aren't engaging in illegal activity, have no socially redeeming value. Should we go that far? We'll hear the argument. Stay with us.